Good afternoon and welcome to our call today, which is sponsored by both Piper Sandler's Energy and Power and Chemicals and Materials Banking Groups. Topic for today is what is the future of oil and gas chemicals? My name is Paul Steyer and I'm Managing Director in the Energy and Power Banking Team, and I'll be your moderator. Our panelists today are Neil Harrop, CEO of Imperative Chemical Partners, and Dave Thomas, Managing Director at Golden Gate Capital. The call is designed to be only 45 minutes, and therefore we will not have time for audience questions. But if you have questions following the call, please reach out to your banking representative. This call cannot be referenced in any articles, and this conversation should be considered off the record. Before we jump into the questions, let's start with introductions. Neil, would you mind sharing a high-level overview of your organization?
Absolutely. Thanks, Paul. Imperative is one of the largest independent oilfield chemical companies in the U.S. We are primarily an upstream and midstream production chemicals business with an adjacent and complementary capturing business. Our areas of focus are predominantly around service delivery, product effectiveness, and really managing asset integrity and flow assurance for all of our customers. As we evolve, our next phase of evolution is taking those same service principles, combining them with the new and exciting Optis frac fluid technology that we just launched in Q4. Optis is focused on chemically mitigating skin damage during completion operations, and that results in increased well production. And to date, we've had some pretty amazing results from our early adopters. So by expanding our portfolio into chemical frac solutions, Imperative Chemicals stands to open a new market for our growth in the years to come. I've been here for about a year, just for the benefit of everybody on the call. And I have to say, I've got an incredible team of people I work with here at Imperative, and I'm really privileged to be part of such an incredible bunch of people. It's an amazing company.
Great. Thanks, Neil. Dave, same question for you.
Sure. Dave Thomas, Managing Director at Golden Gate Capital and a leader of our industrials and energy investing efforts. And we're an active investor in the energy ecosystem, including chemicals, materials, infrastructure, and software companies. And by way of example, we're the largest investor in Covia, which is one of the premier providers of frac sand. A number of our chemicals and materials companies, including Angus and Active Minerals, provide downhole materials for both production and completion chemistries. And then we have two relatively new investments, Stonehill, which is a de novo midstream water infrastructure company, pipeline company, as well as Vorto, which is introducing some new AI-based supply chain tools, which have specific applicability in the energy space, particularly around sand, chemicals, and other commodities, which are being distributed on a regular and high-volume basis out to the well site.
Excellent. Appreciate you both agreeing to be part of this today and answering some of our questions. Dave, why don't we just stay with you and you can lead off with the first question, which is, as fewer of the diversified chemical companies focus on the oil and gas sector, how do you see this benefiting oil and gas focused companies?
Sure, yeah, it's certainly been interesting to observe, as it were. We don't have a dedicated platform in the space, but looking outside in, I think it's a great opportunity for these oil and gas focused companies that are operating in the basin to really take share and build the type of scale that allows for more reinvestment in their business and technological innovation. This is their core business. It's something they're committed to long term, right? And maybe the commitment therein is a little less subject to the vicissitudes of the oil and gas cycle and maybe other priorities in a broadly diversified chemicals portfolio. I also think, as you think about bringing new technologies and innovation to bear in the marketplace, you know, some of these companies have the benefit of being a little less wedded to the utilization of upstream assets in particular chemistries. And so maybe a little bit more flexibility to consider new technologies, you know, solutions and approaches, which I think obviously benefits those companies, but their customers as well. So I think it's an interesting time. We've certainly sort of come full cycle on how this particular subsector is considered in the context of broadly diversified chemicals companies over the past decade. And I certainly think it's an exciting time for these dedicated companies, like I said, to really build scale and frankly, reinvest and provide more innovation for their customers.
Thanks, Dave. Neil, you, same question for you. I mean, Imperative is clearly a focused company in the oil and gas sector. So curious to hear your views of this dynamic.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything Dave just said there. There's fewer companies or diversified chemical companies entering the business, and I think there's the several leaving. Main reason for that, in my opinion, is a kind of a business model disconnect with respect to what their core is versus what oilfield chemicals is all about. That you compare large scale manufacturing to really service and infield well service. You compare manufacturing plants, huge manufacturing plants, versus day-to-day management of U.S. land wells from a perspective of delivering chemicals, taking samples, managing the pump maintenance, doing the general well monitoring. All these things are very different to the kind of point-to-point large-scale manufacturing models that the diversified chemical companies operate under. And also beyond that, you know, the importance of the relationships through a ortho chemicals business cycle, which is a long business cycle. It's not just a simple chemical delivery business. Service is the key to that, and that service component, I think, is the real disconnect between the two business models. And so that's why I feel that the diversified chemical companies are really contracting back to their core, and that provides a huge opportunity for companies like Imperative, which are oilfield chemicals focused. It's what we do every day. We live and die by it, and we love it. You know, it's as the vacuum opens, as these companies pull out, then to me, it's the most nimble oilfield chemical companies that are going to be able to pick up that share and grow into that vacuum. If it's all right, can I just expose or talk a little bit about the actual market itself and why that justify that kind of difference in business model?
Yeah, please.
If you look at the oilfield chemicals business, it's an incredible business if it's managed correctly. And in some of the diversified oilfield service companies that are dedicated oilfield service companies sometimes get it wrong, and really ignore the importance and the difference between the oilfield chemicals business cycle, because they've got integrated businesses which are also exposed to the drilling cycle, and they try and manage both under one business model, and that's difficult, and it doesn't work. To elaborate a little bit more, if you think about the cycle we've just been through now, we've seen a down cycle, and we've seen we're coming into an up cycle. And when you look at the way that goes down at a down cycle, the first thing to go is drilling, then it's completions, and then it's the production side of the business. And it on the other side, on the upside, the production side of the business, it stays relatively constant. It starts to build first with wells coming back on, then completion start with conversion of the ducts, and then we get back to drilling. So effectively, drilling is the first thing to go, and it's the last thing to come back. And to give you some kind of data to qualify that, if you look at drilling rig averages, and I got this from the Baker Hughes site, which is a little bit of my history there, is if you look at 2019, the average drilling rigs in 2019 was 944, and 2020 was 432. 2021, so far this year, the average is coming at about 413. And if you look at that swing from 19 to where we are now in 21, you know, that's down on average year on year by 55%. And if you look at the volatility of that swing, averages had a lot of information. You look at the volatility of that, you know, the max to min for the drilling rigs was 1,075 back in 2019 was the peak, and down to 244 in August of 2020. That's a 77% drop in drilling operations. If you weren't wearing your seatbelt at that point, you went straight through the windscreen. It stopped so abruptly. And if you look at the same scenario from a production perspective, average, and I pulled this from the EIA website, if you look at that from 2019 to 20 to 21, the really production, U.S. production, fluctuated from 12.3 million barrels per day to 11.3, and it's averaging 11 right now in 2021, expected to recover fully back to around about 11.7 in the next 12 months. So you see the variation there is a lot less. You know, the production decline, even at the worst state, was only the worst case scenario is only 22%. And generally, if you look at the averages from 19 to 2021, the decline is only around about 10%. So there's a massive difference between the drilling cycle and the production cycle, which is something that is obviously misconstrued and misunderstood and mismanaged. And let's put this in perspective. We're going through a pandemic right now. Oil went negative. This is the worst downturn I think the oil industry has ever seen. And we managed to transgress that with relatively secure business volume through the cycle. And so when you look at the way that production business prevails through that cycle, it's more of a management through the cycle. Wells are wells. The wells that are drilled are always going to be there. And the production chemical side of that piece is focused on those wells. And to be quite frank, from our customers' perspective, those wells that are existing, they've got to get the maximum possible production and look after those wells as best they can in a down cycle, because they're not drilling to replenish and they're not drilling to expand their production. So it's all about what they have and how to maximize that out. And the way we manage our business through that cycle is really kind of looking at the different aspects of our P&L. One of the great things about production chemicals is that a lot of our raw material costs are tied to commodities such as oil. So as oil price drops, then so do our raw material costs. And so from that perspective, we get some relief to be able to manage through that cycle in a much more balanced way. And when you look at what really is the success of an oilfield chemicals company, it's about building good chemical programs. It's providing that day-to-day high-quality service and really establishing the trust and credibility with customers, because this isn't going to be a stop-start business. And it's a pretty sticky business when you get it right. Because effectively, when you think about it, we're in trust, we're looking after and optimizing production on our customers' assets. That's what they do for a living. Very important to them. And it's everything from asset integrity to flow assurance. And we become a very important partner to the E&P companies, and a great relationship really delivers benefits to both sides of that organization. And lastly, and I apologize, I'm waxing lyrical about oilfield chemicals. It's a passion of mine, but when you look at it from a different business to the drilling cycles and the completion side of the business, it's very low capital intensive business. Our CapEx tends to gravitate towards infrastructure, people, capabilities such as lab upgrades and incremental analytical capability, putting in data systems geared towards enhancing the services and efficiency that we provide. And last but not least, the technology. And when I look at our most recent CapEx investment, it's been all around the analytical equipment to support the launch of our Optis frac fluid technology product line. And so to go back to the original question on how that impacts oilfield chemicals specifically, I think that the transition of the diversified chemical companies is going to really provide a huge opportunity for companies like Imperative, who are well positioned to capitalize on the vacuum that gets created. And the diversified companies are going to reposition closer to their manufacturing core, which is what they do. And they're going to lead the oilfield chemicals business to people that are focused on that specific discipline.
No, that was great, Neil. And your comment about the need to maximize production from producing wells in the context of the cycle, I think it's a good segue to the next question, which is a bit different. So maybe we just let you continue. And the question is, in light of ESG initiatives, oil and gas operators are emphasizing operational efficiency and maximizing production from every well drilled. Can you talk about the importance of production and pipeline chemical programs in contributing to the improved efficiency? And you already hit on a little bit of that, but I think if you could continue with that one, that would be great.
Yeah, I'll try not to repeat myself too much, but it's the two things are intertwined. I think ESG, in the ESG space, you look at that as a much broader thing than just efficiency and production improvement. It's, for us, it's development of our employees. It's responsibility and respect for the communities that we operate in. It's local community sponsorship with organizations such as Oil Patch Kids and Be the Change Permian Basin. We contribute, we help, we volunteer, we operate to really improve the communities and improve the lives of the people that are living around the areas that we work. And when you see Imperative out there as a company working out there in the oil field, you see a company about that cares about the communities that it works in, and I think that's an important brand for us. It's an important mantra for us, and I think it really sets the company aside from its competitors. I think, you know, to answer your question specifically, efficiency, I guess, is doing something is doing more with less, and there's different aspects of that within our business: asset integrity, flow assurance, production improvement. I'll address those in order, but if you look at asset integrity from perspective, the upstream programs that we have in place, and that's really protecting wells and flow lines, is all about reducing failures, extending the life of the assets, reducing the workovers, minimizing expense, and very time consuming and expensive R&M activity. And effectively, any activity reduction is an improvement in ESG. The less things we have moving around, then the less impact that we have in the areas around us, and that's an important metric. And when you look at the chemicals component, taking that from upstream to midstream, it's a very highly regulated business. In the midstream business, it's about pipelines. Pipelines in the U.S. are getting older, and a key driver for those pipeline distribution companies is to extend the use of their assets beyond their design life. And the only way to do that is to really look after them. And midstream, because of the regulations, which is constantly evolving, is heavily dependent on pipeline maintenance and pipeline management. And a good chemical program, good pigging, good monitoring programs are really the health line to make sure that these pipelines stay in good shape. And that's, you know, keep them safe, keep them operational. That's a core contribution from an ESG perspective that Imperative brings to the marketplace in midstream. If I address something differently, looking at flow assurance, keeping wells flowing, you know, preventing equipment from scaling up, preventing paraffin from depositing, for instance, you know, keeping the assets that have been put in place in good operational order and good flowing without the need to really have any activity around maintaining those the ability of those assets to flow. I'll bring up one instance, which is it's a hot topic for me is paraffin deposition. It builds up in wells, it builds up in flow lines, and what effectively that does is constrict the flow, reduces the flow, and in many instances, the only way to do that to remove that is to utilize hazardous hot oil and water remediation. Anything we can do to mitigate that is a huge benefit. And there is a chemical solution to this, which is again the hot oil market, the hot water market is another available market to oil field chemicals that we're slowly expanding into. And it's the chemistry is available. We have the chemistry to do that. The complementary component is really intelligent injection systems. And that was a focus at my last role at Project Chemicals, where they've developed an autonomous, reliable, set-it-and-forget-it chemical injection system. And you couple that up with the right oilfield chemistry, and that combination effectively has got the ability to replace a significant amount of hot oil and water activity in the oilfield, which I think is an amazing ability to be able to remove from uh, from operations. The last thing I'm going to talk about is production improvement, and I'm going to shamelessly, I hope you forgive me for this, but I'm going to shamelessly plug some new technology that Imperative is bringing to market right now with Optis. I mentioned it in the opening comments. When you and the thing about Optis is it's different to anything else that's been out there. When you look at the focus on production improvement, it's really all about drilling and completions. It's all about doing it faster, drilling wells longer, being more accurate with your well placement, through reservoir engineering, and really a lot of focus on mechanical technology, such as sliding sleeves, drop ball technology. A lot of those things have kind of taken over, and really the impact of formation damage that's caused during those processes of drilling and completion activity has really been underestimated. And from an Imperative perspective, we see that as a market opportunity. We're a chemicals company. And we've dedicated a lot of resources to identifying this opportunity, understanding it, and Imperative is now starting to change the game in this space. We've recruited some top industry specialists. We've invested in a laboratory in the Midland Basin, which is state-of-the-art equipment. Nothing out there compares to it. It's all brand new, bespoke designed, and what we're bringing to the market is so different from the way that fluids are utilized today. We've already applied for 6 patents. We've got the 7th one in process. And really, from the initial results that we're seeing, Optis has really got the potential to revolutionize how we complete wells in the future. Little bit of background around what Optis is. It's really a different way of doing frac fluid design. It's a new concept that we pioneered in the Permian Basin, and really is designed to address the formation skin damage that occurs during the drilling and completion process. And the proprietary kind of purpose-built lab that we put together, we use cuttings, formation fluids, we review completion design and utilize flow loop testing. We put all that information into a brain which is able to really understand the issues that pertain to skin damage during the operations of drilling and fracking. And we've developed Optis technology through an incredibly smart bunch of people. And really, when I look at what it brings to the marketplace, it really changes the game on completions, and it really differentiates on so many levels, from a simple reduction in chemical usage to improve pumping performance. You know, typically we can reduce the pumping pressures on a frac crew by 500 to 1,000 psi. This provides great pump control, a better frac placement, reduced fuel consumption, and with that, reduced emissions, obviously, and reduced equipment R&M costs. And by doing that and improving the reliability of that equipment, you reduce the number of downtime, the amount of downtime, you reduce the failures. And that really supports another service company in the oil field space, which is the pumping companies. Their biggest expense is R&M, and we can help mitigate that. And through the people that we have, we've got a better understanding of the mechanisms that cause the formation damage. And by designing well-specific Optis treatments, specifically designed for each individual well, and the root cause of skin damage on that particular well, that's when you really realize the power of Optis. The well performance that we've seen has been significantly over the type curves that have really been observed in similar wells drilled in the local vicinity. And the Optis technology payback from the early adopters are delivering much more with less, improved production from every well that they've drilled so far. And this translates to greater efficiency and less wells that needed to be drilled to really meet the demand of the oil companies and the demand of the world for oil and gas. And let's be quite frank, doing more with less is a key ESG initiative. And by using Optis and by investing from an Imperative perspective in that technology, we really kind of feel we can support the ESG initiatives of the E&P companies and get more from less and drill less wells, have less impact and in the communities that we operate. And that's obviously a key ESG initiative that we all share in as we come to embrace the years ahead in the oil and gas industry. So I apologize for shamelessly plugging that, but I think it is very relevant to the ESG initiative, and I think it's a good technology that's coming to market that can really be utilized to support those E&P initiatives.
No, that's great, Neil. And I mean, look, doing more with less certainly, I think, hits home and is an elegant way to say it, and certainly fits the narrative. Dave, anything to add? I mean, feel free to address the same question, ESG initiatives, you know, more broadly, if appropriate, considering your portfolio companies that you're dealing with.
Sure, yeah, and Neil did a great job of talking through and summarizing how to think about some of the impacts in terms of downhole chemistries. I might take a little bit broader lens in terms of some of the things we've been thinking about in the context of our portfolio companies. You know, about 7 years ago now, we partnered with a great industry executive, Jay Parkinson, a real thought leader around oil-filled water infrastructure. And the observation, right, was both from an ESG perspective and from a safety perspective, there was a lot of impetus towards, you know, taking trucks off the road and shifting to pipelines. Of course, you know, there are a bunch of other things that contribute to that as well. Obviously, you know, as drilling density has increased, the economics around laying new pipelines, et cetera, make a lot more sense. But certainly there's a chemical need around these water pipelines as well, which I think is poised to continue to grow significantly. But it's one of these key themes that where we thought about, obviously, a big part of what's happening in terms of the ESG considerations and environmental impact and footprint is just the heavy lift to get all these things from one place to another sort of 24/7 all over the oil field, right? And so, you know, we think that oil field water infrastructure plays an important part in addressing that. The second piece, which I'll address, I mentioned earlier, we have a software company called Vorto, which is really focused on supply chain solutions. So these have been applied so far to frac sand, to chemicals, but are increasingly being applied to other commodities in the oil field. And the thinking is similar, right? There are a bunch of ways in which companies can optimize logistics routes, reduce latency and non-productive time within the network, which again obviously contributes to the environmental footprint and lowers the overall emissions profile to everybody in that value chain. So we've really been pleased with the progress there and the appetite from customers across the value chain to think about a new way to approach things. And our CEO there, Priyesh Ranjan, is really a visionary in terms of how he's tackling some of these, you know, fundamental logistics and supply chain problems within the energy industry. And the last thing that I would add, Paul, is just, you know, one thing that I see, at least relative to, you know, call it the heyday in terms of the breakneck pace of a drilling and completion that was maybe occurring in sort of 2013, 2014 is, you know, obviously there's, in my view, a much higher degree of visibility and forecastability in terms of what the E&Ps are going to do. And there are a bunch of reasons why that's happened, right, in terms of consolidation in the space, capital budget, discipline, all the accumulated learning that's transpired over that time frame in terms of how companies actually drill and complete these wells. But that all helps everybody else in the value chain as well. It helps everybody else upstream, right? If you can go to Neil or go to a frac sand company or anybody else and sort of give them more forward visibility in terms of your plans, that really makes a world of difference in terms of, you know, optimizing this logistics footprint and allowing people to really make the most efficient use of their assets. So I see a couple of different things coming together to really contribute and lower the footprint. And obviously, all those things impact oil and gas chemistry, but they impact the footprint of operators and services companies more broadly. So I've been pleased by the momentum around a number of those things as sort of some of these discussions move to the forefront of both company and investor thinking.
Yeah, great. That makes a lot of sense. Let's shift gears as we press forward here. The next question is another topic that seems to come up all the time these days, along the lines of ESG, which is consolidation. And it's certainly a trend we're seeing in a lot of the sectors within the oil and gas market. And so we'd be interested to hear both of your thoughts in terms of anticipation of consolidation in this specific space in terms of oil field chemicals. Again, Dave, feel free to expand that a bit more broadly as appropriate. But you want to kick us off on that one?
Sure, happy to. And I think historically one of the themes that we've seen in terms of consolidation has just been that which sort of transpires or occurs on the back of the commodity cycle, right? There's capacity built up or assets put into service and demand decreases. And so there's a natural sort of consolidation or rationalization that transpires up asset or capacity utilization and improve pricing and margins. But that's been transpiring for a long time. I think actually something different is happening now, and I think there are a couple of ways in which this implicates chemicals, materials, companies, et cetera. Insofar as E&P consolidation is consolidating acreage positions, right, there can be real cost advantages to local or regional scale within a given basin, right? As you sort of move away from sort of this patchwork or quilt of acreage positions, right, you're able to delineate a little bit more clearly, which companies you should be working with, where assets should be located, what the optimal routes and logistics networks are, right? And so I think there can be real cost advantages that can be developed on a local or regional basis, sort of with the right scale. And obviously, to the extent your customers are consolidating, it doesn't matter in energy or other industries, right? There's typically a reasonably strong commercial logic to scaling up as well, at least from a procurement perspective. But I really think you can start to see some significant logistics and supply chain benefits, just because the nature of the consolidation now, like I said, is tending to lead people to consolidate their acreage positions to provide a higher degree of visibility and forecastability into what they're doing, and that helps players all throughout the value chain improve their own asset utilization and sort of underwrite some pretty profound cost synergies that actually have to do with the day-to-day business and optimizing those networks and assets, as opposed to just consolidation of corporate overhead and elimination of those sort of what I would call first order synergies. So I think we'll continue to see it up and down the value chain. It makes a lot of sense. I'll be curious to see how it evolves sort of on a basin by basin level, but I think there's a pretty sound industrial logic for it to continue to happen for chemicals and materials companies as well.
Yeah, for sure. Neil, you want to chime in on that topic of consolidation?
Absolutely. Again, Dave makes some incredible points there around the benefits of scale. And when you look at what's happening all around us with EMPs, it's already happening. Pioneer's acquisition of Parsley and Double Eagle being a huge one in the Permian Basin. I look internally to Imperative as a company. We comprise of six companies, which have been acquired over a period of 7 years, all successfully integrated and generated critical mass to provide one of the largest independent oilfield chemical companies in the U.S. And that gives us critical mass. It gives us economy of scale. It allows us to capitalize on a lot of benefits that Dave just outlined there. Cost efficiencies through scale are always going to be attractive. And it allows companies like us to use that scale then to to use it as really a foundation stone to push off into different geographic areas that currently we're not in a dominant position, and allow us to make inroads into those areas and utilize those economies of scale to make us competitive. We're actively seeking positions in the back end, South Texas, Mid-Con, and having a lot of success with by capitalizing and competing very aggressively and using those economies of scale to grow our business. And I think in addition to economies of scale, we're always on the lookout for new technology. to really either enhance our current business or expand our business into a broader available market, which maybe a new technology would open up for us if it was in our portfolio. So we're always looking at that, and then you kind of get into the equation of when you look at what kind of companies you buy from an imperative perspective, it's consolidation. We're looking at a lot of new startups, new technology, people who've got an established geographic footprint in an area that we're not dominant. And when you look at that, the whole equals more than some of the parts as you execute on successfully integrating those acquisitions into your business. And I think that if you do that successfully, as in the case of my predecessors at Imperative and what the businesses that Hastings have brought into Imperative, it's proof in the pudding, if you like, to the way this company's been built up. And when I look at the potential for consolidation down the line, I think that specifically Oilfield Chemicals is always going to be a good acquisition target. When you look at it from it's a bizarre terminology, but I see Oilfield Chemicals really as an ambidextrous business. It's an incredible standalone business, or it's a platform to base a portfolio around. And the reason I say that is because what I alluded to earlier on with the difference in the business cycle that Oilfield Chemicals sits in, being on the production side of the business, it really allows you to base something around something that performs through the cycle. I mean, profitability obviously fluctuates, as with any Oilfield Chemicals company, but the need for the vital services that Oilfield Chemicals provide, which I alluded to earlier, is really mission critical to production of existing wells, and it's independent of the cycle, predominantly with wells that have been drilled still need to be treated, they still need to be serviced regardless of the oil price, and effectively, like I said earlier on, in a lot of cases they need a little bit more attention in a down cycle than an up cycle. So when you look at where oil companies divert their spend to, it tends to be more on kind of well remediation and well care, which is right in our wheelhouse. And I think that you look at the other side of the equation with respect to adding a Oilfield Chemicals to an existing portfolio, it really provides that stability through the cycle. Or you look at the size of the business that Oilfield Chemicals participates in from a total available market perspective. Where we are right now, it upstream midstream, we're probably looking at $1.2-1.3 billion US market. Imperative started off as a traditional upstream chemicals production company, and we subsequently expanded into midstream through acquisition. And the next evolutionary step for us is obviously what I talked to you about with Optis earlier, which is the frac chemicals side of the business, which traditionally has been dominated by pumping companies. But through new technology, it allows us to penetrate that and grow an oilfield chemicals business through within the scope of existing operations in oilfield services and penetrate new markets. When you look at completions right now from a chemicals perspective, that's probably a $700 million market in current conditions. And when we know completions and drilling is down, if you look back just a couple of years, it was more than double that. And so when you look at the ability to consolidate and what people are looking at, we've acquired businesses to really and acquired technology to really provide that cradle-to-grave chemical solution through frac, through flowback, through production and through midstream. And I think that we've achieved that through acquisition, we've achieved that through technology development. And I think that, you know, I see oil field chemicals companies as very lucrative and very highly desired acquisition targets as companies do consolidate to establish their dominance in the oil field sector, and to it allows a lot of scope to expand into adjacent businesses that contribute the core of an existing platform, and it's the same rule applies as the way we built this business up, that the it's always the case doing acquisitions with adjacent businesses that are close to your core, is the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And so, you know, from an acquisition perspective, I think Oilfield Chemicals, and consolidation perspective, I think Oilfield Chemicals is a good business to be in. It's a likely acquisition target, and it's a likely acquirer of adjacent business to Oilfield Chemicals. So consolidation is going to continue. It's going to happen. I actively support it. I love the way that it opens up new exciting opportunities for companies, both whether you're acquired or whether you're acquiring. It certainly keeps the business dynamic. It drives cost out of our business. Today's point on the economies of scale, and I think it allows more investment in technology once you get past critical mass to enhance the oil field. So, yeah, it's consolidation is happening. It's going to continue to happen, and I fully embrace that. I think it's good for the oil field.
Great. Thanks, Neil. Thanks, Dave. We really only have a few minutes left, so maybe just give each of you a chance to kind of wrap up. I mean, are there any other sector trends we didn't cover? I mean, we hit on the big ones, I think, in terms of where the diversified chemical companies are headed. The ESG and the consolidation topics. Anything else worth throwing out there for consumption, Dave? Or Neil, either one?
Yeah, no, obviously the one theme that we hear pretty consistently, whether it's from customers or investors, is everyone's focused on maximizing their capital budget and their ROI. So, continued focus on divesting non-core activities, really deploying that capital in the highest value add areas of focus for the E&P companies. And I think continuing to lean out supply chains, again, part of that is improving visibility. And I think the trade-off there, right, is for improved visibility. E&Ps do and should expect that, the upstream companies can take costs out of the system, which should benefit everyone. So I think that long-term planning really has an opportunity to kind of improve total cost of service, reduce non-productive time and latency in the network. And a lot of the things around consolidation and density of drilling and more predictable outcomes, I think, really sort of underwrite that approach to the sector. So I think it's actually a pretty fundamental shift in the way that the sector operates, certainly as many people on the phone would know, relative to 5 or 6 years ago, but it does seem to be the recurring and persistent theme that we hear. So,
yeah, that was a good point. Neil, anything?
Very briefly, I mean, I see consolidation continuing to happen. I see continuous focus on technology, driving well site efficiency. I see a higher bent towards environmental focus, a drive to carbon neutrality, water management, recycling, and conditioning. And it's I think we're going to see a shift in oil and gas demand from transportation and power generation to more to materials development. And the utilization of what I see as a very versatile natural resource. I mean, it enhances our lives in so many ways that we don't really appreciate. You look at everything from the socks on your feet to the piece of high-tech technology you hold in your hand every day and probably listen to right now on this call. All the components and a lot of the things that we use every single day are derived from oil and gas. And I think it's still an industry that's evolving, and I think it's going to be a vital part of our lives for many years to come.
Awesome. Yeah, Neil, Dave, thanks again for participating. Really appreciate it. I, for one, enjoyed it. Hope everybody else listening in did as well. Thanks for attending the call. We will continue hosting calls similar to today's, so if you have any topics you would like to see addressed, please reach out to me or any of your banking reps in the Chemicals and Materials Group or Victoria Beard. And finally, please reach out to your Piper Sandler banking representative if you have any questions. We look forward to speaking with you soon. You may now disconnect. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks very much, Paul.